Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70 Football Show, where we discuss the entire Big Ten from Rutgers to Ohio State. You can catch us every Monday breaking down the major games, storylines, and previewing the next week's slate. If you love the Big Ten, pack a bag, jump in the car, and enjoy the ride. As always, I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
What's up, guys? What's up, Jordan?
What's good?
Nothing, really. playoff basketball and playoff hockey.
Yeah. I don't really watch hockey, although I do want to go to a Columbus Clippers game at some point.
Clippers is baseball.
Similar.
Clippers are baseball. They're
the Blue Jackets. Hold on. I was going to get to that. See, I told you I don't watch hockey. yeah.
That's funny.
Columbus Blue Jackets game at some point. Because I have been to a hockey game. I went to the Lake Erie Monsters game.
Ooh.
And it's cool. It's cool in person.
Yeah. No, I've heard. I have been to a Bowling Green hockey game, but that's about it for me for a hockey game. I do want to go to a Blue Jackets game one day, though.
Well, I'm probably not the playoffs because they're probably expensive, but if you ever want to go.
If
you
know, we're even in the playoffs, I don't even know if they're in the playoffs right now.
I don't know. They had a good. I assume they were because they had a good run last year, but it's a new season. So.
Yeah, and I know usually when they kind of keep up with the NBA and their playoffs, so they might be in the same round right now.
No, they're a couple weeks behind.
Oh, they might. Okay,
so their first round hasn't started yet. I think it starts this coming week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. I think it starts this coming week.
Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs.
Yikes.
Yeah, they were eliminated.
Well, yeah, next season then, if you want to slide to a game.
We can make that happen. Yeah, they went 37-38. Yeah, you ain't making the playoffs.
That's not good.
Nah. They have an 82-game season, too? Crazy, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a lot. What I've learned about a lot of sports.
What?
Sports and strip clubs. They're only as fun. they're only as fun as who you go with. Like, even if you're not into hockey, even if you're not in the hockey, if you go with the right group of people, you have fun. If you don't, it can be really boring.
I promise you, I had no idea where you were going with that because I was like, sports and strip club. Where are we going? Like, what is the topic here? Yeah.
It's why people don't like baseball, but people can go to baseball games because they're fun if you go with the right people.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. And, like, I've been to 3 Indians games, like I said, and each one was fun, but it does depend on the people you go.
Yeah. Go with. I'm trying to go to the Guardians versus Yankees game the weekend of July 4th because I'm a Yankees fan and I'm not going to New York. So,
I mean, two things there.
The weekend of July 4th.
Okay, there's two things. Have fun paying for those tickets.
Baseball tickets are cheap. I've already looked them up.
But it's July 4th and it's the Knicks, the Yankees.
It doesn't matter. It's the Guardians. It's like the Cavs without LeBron.
Hold on. We was just in the playoffs like 2 years ago.
The first time without LeBron when he was in Miami.
Oh, I don't know. So I was about to say, we were just playing in the World Series. I know that was baseball, like 6 years ago.
That was like 3 or 4, yeah. But baseball tickets are relative. Baseball tickets compared to other sports are cheaper anyway, from my understanding, from what I've seen. You can get pretty decent tickets for cheap. Like, I haven't seen a baseball ticket that's like $500. But you can very easily pay $500 for a football game or even, like, the right basketball game.
Good Lord.
$500. Yeah. When I was looking there, like 34.
You mean to tell me that the Browns at some point were charging $500 for tickets?
I would hope not, but like the Patriots.
Okay, especially I was about to say the Browns only been good for the past 3 years, so they've been that's outrageous. And then again, especially, that only proves that the Browns are the most loyal fan base in all sports, because
of literally all time.
Because that stadium be packed for them to lose every game. That happened like 3-5 years ago. When did Baker get drafted?
4 years ago. This is he's on his 5th-year option right now.
So 6 years ago they went 0-16. I think.
Yeah, that's basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then drafted Baker Mayfield number one. Idiot.
Really crazy. Really crazy. And he's not even.
Nobody wants.
He kind of ain't got a job. Like, yeah, because like
that's hilarious.
Because my thing is, are they going to keep paying him?
They have to. So here's the thing. Here's the thing with Baker. He's too good to cut, and a lot of teams are basically playing.
The Russian roulette.
Chicken. That's what it is. But Russian roulette works. They're really chicken. They're playing chicken with the Browns, and they're like, we're not going to trade, so are you going to cut him? And then if they cut him, there's going to be like 4 teams that try to sign him immediately. Because if they cut him, the Browns will owe that full thing, and so the full contract, or however it works, most of it. And then they can, you know how they do it, especially in basketball. If someone else is paying your contract, they'll bring you in on the vet minimum.
True.
Pay you $1 million because you're getting 18 or whatever from somebody else, and that's how they get people for cheap. So that doesn't happen often in football, but that's what would happen.
Because I was very confused because I was about to say, Seattle still don't have a quarterback, and I don't know if they drafted one, but last I checked, they don't have a quarterback.
Wait. That is not true. Seattle has a quarterback. They have Geno Smith. So he's winning the competition right now. You're telling me that Geno Smith is not a quarterback? You don't want Geno Smith leading your team?
I'm telling you, I'm taking Baker over Geno Smith. I'll tell you that right now.
I would take Baker any day of the week over Geno Smith.
So, again, Seattle doesn't have a quarterback. Houston doesn't really have one either.
Well, Houston likes their young guy enough.
I mean, I get Houston, that.
They like their young guy. So here's the thing with Baker, especially with Houston. Baker's too good to go to Houston because what Houston wants, they either want their young guy to be good and keep him long term, especially on a cheaper deal, or they want him to be crappy so they get the first pick and they can get a good quarterback this year. Baker is going to have them at 500 minimum, which is not great, but it's not number one pick territory. He's too good for Houston. either Davis Mills is going to be Baker and they're going to win some games and they're going to like him and they're going to keep him out throughout his rookie deal while he's really cheap, like the Cowboys did with Dak, or he's going to be garbage and they'll get a new quarterback. Baker raises their ceiling a little bit too much. He's going to win, you know, 6 or 7 games. Even if they still have a top 10 pick, that pick is not number one.
See, and that's why I'm like, now, if Houston's out the market because they want to be trash but also keep their young guy, I can't think of no other team that need a quarterback.
Panthers?
No, they just drafted a quarterback.
In like the fifth round.
We're not doing
but
that.
But they did draft that quarterback because they couldn't come to terms with the deal for Baker, supposedly.
But, well, yeah, that's because Cleveland still wanted too high of a pick. And you're not going to get that high of a pick when they know you don't want him. Like, you're not going to get what you want when we know you don't want him.
Especially when he's already not that good. And, you know,
and he's coming off an injury. He's coming off of surgery. I keep forgetting that. He is coming off of surgery. So, it's going to be hard to move him without having to cut him. So,
that's what happened with Jimmy. The thing about it is, though, is like...
Has Jimmy been cut?
No. I'm just saying...
So what are they doing there?
It's the same thing with Baker. It's hard to trade for him because he had surgery. He had shoulder surgery, too.
Right.
And he's only however good. So the thing is, if I was Cleveland, it's awkward, but it's one season. I would just keep Baker, pay the 18 mil... Because here's the thing, if the NFL ever grows balls, they will suspend Deshaun Watson for a couple of games.
See, now here's the thing. Right now, if they do keep him, I can see it happening where they don't even suspend Deshaun Watson just to to teach the Browns a lesson, I guess, in a way. Because now you have to pay that. Well, they have to pay it regardless, but you decided to mess up the cap this year and you messed up the bargaining agreement for everybody for quarterbacks, and then you messed up the future bargaining agreement that they'll do between the league and the players. So that'd be like, here's your punishment for making such a hasty decision, and now you got to pay all these people. Even though I think it's just going to be $1 million for Deshaun Watson for that 1 year.
Yeah, it is, in case he gets suspended. Because, you know, the Browns are on some sicko time. Like, you know, like,
I wouldn't say sicko.
They're on some sicko time. No, hold on.
Who else was you going to go after? If you was going to go after a quarterback.
That's not the point. This is how they're on sicko time. They go after Deshaun Watson, which is bad enough, right? They give up all this money for him, which is bad enough. But this is the real sicko time. The sicko time is the contract. You give him a new contract knowing he should be suspended, so you make his first year $1 million. So if he gets suspended, he doesn't lose money. That is sicko time. That is, we know you messed up. We know you're going to get suspended. So let's find a way to help that is supporting him.
I get where you're coming from, and that's hilarious because, like, I see where you're coming from. But that's more like that's more of a thing for them. Like, wow, so we don't have to pay a player that's not going to be playing. Like, we don't have to pay him that much. That's really what they do.
No, it's not. That's like you getting a girl pregnant, but you're friends with your boss, and your boss is like, oh, they're garnishing your wages? All right, so you make $10 an hour. I'll pay you the rest under the table.
No, that is not. That's not the same.
They said you're going to get suspended, so I'm going to pay you the vet minimum. So if they garnish your wages, you lose nothing.
Nah, that's not how that works. That's not the same thing. That is exactly what happened.
What do you?
It's not the same. I'm telling you, bro. Because I get where you're coming from. Like, it's like they're. It is a sick thing, but they're not supporting him. It's more like we don't have to pay him a huge amount of money.
I'm telling you, Deshaun Watson said, I'm going to the Falcons. And they pulled out the sleazy money launderer lawyer, and they said, are the Falcons willing to do this for you?
Hang on.
Are the Falcons willing to pay you $1 million so when you get suspended, you lose nothing? Are the Falcons willing to give you a fully guaranteed? They pulled that sleazeball lawyer that's in every movie.
Oh my goodness!
They pulled him out. That's not the lawyer that they got on retainer. That's not the lawyer that's on the Browns website. They pulled him out. They pulled him out. It was like, hey, that's the lawyer for Pilot Flying J, because you know the Browns owner got into a bunch of trouble with his company.
I can't with you.
Jimmy Haslam would say, I got somebody on speed dial. He's got me out of jam or two.
It's a weird contract, I'm not going to lie. Especially since he had, like, I want to say, like, 3 years to go on his current contract.
Because here's the thing. No one in their right mind is accepting $1 million. Well, okay, no NFL player in their right mind is accepting a backloaded contract like that, where for 1 year, their lifestyle, whatever lifestyle that is managed off of $1 million.
But
especially because you think, like, whatever lifestyle he lives, he can't pay for his masseuses off that. He has to move, buy a new house, all that kind of stuff. Like, $1 million is chump change. He probably spends that on massages.
But my thing is, he's probably the $1 million is not that bad. If he handles his money right, then he should be fine. Like, that 1 year.
But what I'm saying is, no one in their right mind accepts that contract if it's not for sleazy reasons.
No, like,
You think Patrick Mahomes is like, I understand our cap is a little short right now. Pay me $1 million this year, and then just backdate the rest of it.
No, well,
okay. See,
well, hold now.
No, you said
if it's,
no.
If it's, I don't know, because if it's winning, well, he accepted his crazy contract anyway, so he shot that. Wiggins, what are you doing?
Trying to lose.
It gotta be, but it is sleazeball tactics, but I really, I don't know if it's like peer support, because wait, you don't have to pay a player if he's suspended, right?
No, because you get suspended without pay. So if they would have paid him, the smart thing for the Browns would have been to front load the contract, let him get suspended, and then be like, you just lost $50 million, my guy. We'll pay you 15 the next year. That's the smart thing for the team. It's all sleazeball tactics. This doesn't help the Browns because they don't have to pay him. The only way you pay a suspended player is if they go on commissioner's exempt list. Anything else, any actual suspension is suspended without pay because you get paid off your game checks and you're not in the game.
True. Okay. So
it's sleazeball tactics.
It is sleazeball.
They got the Pilot Flying J lawyer. Yeah. So I don't even know how we got on that.
I don't either. We're supposed to be talking about these draft picks that happen.
So let's switch. Browns are sleazeballs. So, you know.
I mean, they are a multi-million, maybe even billion-dollar company. That I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, the Warriors are going to... Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Every time I talk bad about the Warriors, Jordan Poole hears me.
Like, it has to be. Nice. Even though Steph got fouled on that shot, he did. But they not gonna call it no more. Man.
All right. So after we just wasted 16 minutes debating hockey and the Browns, let's get into what the show is actually about. We're doing an NFL draft recap. Did you watch the draft?
I did. I told you I was gonna watch all 3 days.
Yeah, sicko.
Yep.
Did you, before we get into like the details of whatever, and there's only so much you can see from TV, but like, how, like, what did you think about the draft?
There were it was cool. I didn't listen with sound, so I didn't listen with much sound, so I didn't hear all the. This got to be a great moment for him, you know. His father died when he was 2, and his mom was on crack. So, like, I miss all those type of stories. But it was I think it was all around. I think everybody as an NFL, I think every team did pretty good. All around. I think the Jets did really well. I even think the Eagles did pretty well.
The Jets had an amazing draft. And I think it's funny because haters are trying to say, oh, it's easy to have a good draft when you have 3 first-round picks. Mm-mm. We've seen the Browns.
I've seen Detroit mess up. I've seen the Bears mess up. I've seen Jacksonville mess up.
Oh, my God. Jacksonville messes up multiple first-round picks. The Giants literally just did it a couple years ago.
I've seen the Dolphins.
The Jets have literally done it before.
Yep. Yeah.
The Raiders messed it up because remember when the Raiders drafted the Clemson dude?
Oh, who
wasn't that good. Cleon Farrell. Yeah. He wasn't that good, but they drafted him. I think that same draft, and then like so no, it is not easy to nail multiple first round picks.
First
round picks means nothing.
No, I've seen Washington do it. Like for prospects, we don't know. It's gonna take a while before to see if it pans out. But as prospects, that was a good draft for the Jets. It was a really good draft.
And and the thing is, people be forgetting this. They only had 2 first round picks. The dude fell, and so they traded up for another guy. And that is smart because the guy, like at the end of the day, like people talk about like Kayvon Thibodeau, they talk about Jermaine Jackson, they talk about all these guys. But at the end of the day, there's no consensus who the best edge is. So it could very easily be Jermaine Johnson. Like, he could have the best career. Like, this isn't a year like when you have TJ Watt. This isn't a year when you have Myles Garrett, the Bosa brothers, Chase Young, where there's like one guy or two guys that's a step above everyone else. Everyone is around the same, and they're kind of different flavors, but they have around the same ceiling. And the people who may, quote unquote, have the higher ceiling either didn't have the production in college, like Trayvon Walker, or they only had it for a year. So, like, there is no defined order of them. And so there are people who thought Jermaine Jackson could be the second or third guy taken. They thought he'd be a top 10 pick. So again, like you said, you don't know if he's going to be a star, but getting a guy who is projected in the top 10 at 23, they got 3 starters. They got 3 starters.
They did really well. Starting
wide receiver, a starting defensive end, and what was the other pick they got? Was it corner?
I think they started corner. Yeah. I think both New York teams did pretty well. I think the Giants did well. And they had, a pick, then the Jets, and then a pick?
They had 5 and 7, and they got one of 2 people that were considered the best offensive tackle in the draft, and they got the second best corner, or the best corner. Essentially, they got one of 2 people who was either considered the best offensive tackle or the best corner. Like, you know, there's 2 guys, and one person may think this person, one person may think the next person, but they're clear 1 and 2. They did that for both positions, corner and tackle.
Yeah, no, they did well too. It was a good draft. I think overall it was a good draft. There wasn't a pick where I was like, ha, they messed up. It was more like, we'll see.
And especially for the Jets, and I'm not even just saying that because I'm an Ohio State fan. For the Jets, one of their biggest picks was Jeremy Ruckert, who I think is the best or the second best tight end in this draft, but he fell a little bit injured. Who?
They got 2 Ohio State players.
Yeah, they got Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. That might have been the best pick they've done in a while.
Yeah. And then Jeremy Ruckert, he fell because he got injured at the Senior Bowl or one of those things, so he couldn't test. But he's the best or the second best tight end in the class. And he was like the fifth, sixth, or seventh tight end taken. He's one of the few. Because, you know, like most tight ends going into the league, they're either really good blockers and they can't catch, or they can catch but they can't block. Like, you're always teaching tight ends. He's one of the few that can do both. I'm not saying he doesn't need to get better, but, like, he blocked a lot at Ohio State. That's 90% how Ohio State uses tight ends. And then he has a bunch of spectacular one-handed catches, boxing people out, touchdowns. Like, he's a pretty decent route runner. So it's like his ceiling's already – like, his floor already high. If you train him up, like, not saying – like, you know, you can't predict anyone to be a Kittle or a Kelsey or whatever. But
I just,
I think he's a poor man's Kittle. Maybe and Kittle's also from the Big Ten. Maybe, you know, if everything works out,
fifth round pick, I found out the other day.
Yeah, maybe if everything works in his favor, he becomes that. But I'm not going to say that because Kittle's one of the best tight ends in the league. But even if he's a poor man's Kittle, that means he's an above average blocker and an above average route runner.
And you never know, depending on how the league goes, that could make him one of the best tight ends in the league if he's a poor man's Kittle.
Literally. That could make him a top 10 tight end because Kittle is 2. Yeah. So if he's a poor man's Kittle, maybe that makes him 10 or 11. Yeah. I don't know about you. That's a pretty good tight end. Steph, why would you do that? Just shoot the ball.
He should have passed it to Clay. He was wide open in the right corner.
But if you go up for the layup, you're going to get fouled or you're going to make the layup.
Maybe not. He might not. Ooh, that's great defense. Look at Steph.
Look, oh no, they're not gonna, oh, they're showing the defense. I was trying to say
that's great defense. Wow, no, that's great defense by Steph.
I hope they're saying it's great defense because, you know, we both have it on mute. So
mute like hell.
I don't know what they're saying, but if they're normally when they review like that, they're trying to say, oh, did they file him? No, they didn't.
No, that was beautiful defense. He straight up and stripped the ball twice.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hilarious. The Jets, back to what we were talking about, the Jets had an amazing draft, and it's not going to matter because their quarterback sucks. And I will die on this hill. I watched him play in college. He's not good.
Yeah, it's not going to be that
But here's the thing. They did the best thing that you can do. They did what everyone wants you to do and what the Bears didn't. Because I think Justin Fields is good, but I don't know if he's good. Because I don't know if he's a good pro. Oh,
okay, that's fair. That's fair. All right, so but, I didn't pay attention to every Chicago pick, but I know their first round didn't make any sense to me.
No, like, well, second round. They didn't have a first-round pick.
Okay, so, yeah. Because I was like, are they going to – I remember tweeting. I was like, are they gonna protect that man? Receiver?
No, they're not. So, but, like –
like, cool, they got a fast receiver, but is he going to get the ball?
The Jets do what you're supposed to do, which is you take this quarterback, you build him around him, you get him someone to protect him, you get him pass catchers. You get him everything.
Not everybody got to be Patrick Mahomes or what's the name in Buffalo. But you could be Joe Flacco and win 3 rings. I think Joe Flacco has 3 Super Bowls. So
he only has 1. Ravens only won the 1.
And he wasn't on the team when they won it again?
What are you talking about?
Oh, Joe Flacco played in 2 Super Bowls. That's when he played it to him has 1 win.
Yeah.
I forgot San Fran won that. Or no, they beat San Fran. So I guess he's only played in 1? Am I losing it? I don't remember now. I don't remember. I could have sworn Joe Flacco had like 2. He might have 2 because he was a backup for somebody.
Oh, well, as a starting quarterback, he only has 1.
Yeah, it's 1. It's 1.
Yeah. But, like, that's what I was saying. Like, the Jets did that. So, now you can evaluate the quarterback because he has 2 good wide receivers. He has Garrett Wilson and he has the guy that they drafted, Elijah Moore, who they drafted last year. They have they have good offensive line. They got a tight end. You know, they built up their defense. So, the defense should help, you know, with getting them the ball back, that kind of stuff. So, now if he's not good, he's just not good. You can't say. Whereas, like, if Justin Fields is bad this year, you could say, is Justin Fields bad or is it because you didn't give him an offensive line and you didn't give him pass catchers? Like, you can't really say
there's truly no offensive line in Chicago. And unless they did something in offseason with free agents, and I think that's coming up. Oh, well, then, hey.
They got one. They got a couple of guys, but no studs. They have a guy who maybe good, but like it's one of those things. You know, sometimes where like you get a player who's like a backup that worked with a coach, and the coach knows that he's better than what people know.
Yeah,
they got a guy like that to be their starting. Did Clay miss both?
He did, and they just and Memphis just knocked the ball out of bounds. Oh, that's out on Memphis. Oh no, that's out on Memphis.
I thought it was out on Memphis, but still. Clay missing both is crazy. But yeah, like, you just never know. But with the Jets, you will know if he's good or not. Because, yep, out on Memphis.
That's Devin Brooks.
They did everything that they were supposed to. So
Yeah. I think they did a good job. I think, who else I did? I think I said the Giants. I think they did pretty good.
The Ravens. Oh my God.
Yeah, I think the Ravens did pretty well too.
Like the only complaint you can have about the Ravens is they didn't get a wide receiver for trading Hollywood.
Yeah,
Jarvis is still out there. OBJ is still out there. There are some veterans who
I can't. But you can't. But signing OBJ wouldn't make any sense because he's coming off of ACL, right? So he won't play for a few weeks.
I mean, maybe you're right. I was just trying to name people out. I'm just saying that there are some veteran options that they can look at.
Yeah. I go after Jarvis. I would go after Jarvis, but
yeah, I still want
the I'm not going to get it. I'm never going to understand.
Wait, why did they jump ball?
Cuz they didn't know who the ball went out on. So they just said
we saw jump the ball. Video.
Yeah, I know. They could have just looked at it.
Okay. yeah, either way. I mean, but like, first of all, they got David Ajabo.
Yeah, that was a good pick.
Who had his best season under Mike McDonald, who is their quarterback, who is their defensive coordinator. They got him with the second round pick. They're putting him, I don't know. So I didn't listen to the actual draft, but I listened to like the Athletics draft coverage, and they did like a live thing, and they just actually talk about prospects and not if their dad died, mom was on drugs, whatever. So like one thing that I learned from that is Odafe Owe is the reason that David Ajabo plays football. They went to high school together.
He was a
basketball player.
Yeah.
And Odafe Owe is a year or two older.
Right.
And was like, bro, essentially you should play football. He didn't start playing football till his junior year, was a stud, went to freaking Michigan. Yeah. And made the freaking league. So he goes to a place that doesn't need him to start immediately. He goes to a place with like one of his best friends, and he goes to a place with his defensive coordinator who unlocked him and made him such a high pick. Right. And they get him in the second round. Like, what are you talking about? They got Kyle Hamilton, and they got the center from Iowa.
I saw that one.
They went like all Midwest Big Ten.
Is smart. You played in Baltimore.
Yeah. Like we talked about that, like the Big Ten wide receiver, different things like that, they do well because when you put them in cold weather, unlike someone who lives in Florida, grew up in Florida, played in Florida, they know how to manage that. And then they got Daniel Fahalele, the giant offensive lineman. They got him in like the fourth or fifth round. So if it doesn't work, it doesn't matter. If it does work, he's your starting right tackle for 15 years, and you got him in the fifth round. Not 15, but like 10. And you got him in the fifth round. Not another Ja. Okay, he missed it. Ja couldn't get that lucky that many times. I mean, maybe he is talented, but like, come on. He's going to have another. Like,
and they controlled that game. They had the lead most of the game. Like Thompson with the defense to end the game. I love it. Because people been talking trash about his defense lately. Like, he ain't played in 3 years. Like,
literally.
He's still trying to get that under control.
People need to remember who Clay is. Steph has gotten a lot better at defense, which give him props because most people get older and just give up. LeBron. And I'll say that as a LeBron fan. People think I can't be critical. Steph got better with defense as he got older. But for a while, Clay was the one taking on all the guards.
Oh, yeah. No.
And they were hiding Steph. Let's not forget who Clay is. Like, relax.
Steph has gotten better as he's gotten older.
I think it's hilarious.
But he is only 33, 34.
Yeah, but he's like a 12-year vet. That's around the time they stopped playing defense.
Nah. Some people, but if you're not like you know, on your last wheels type of old.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still improve defensively. It's around 15 where they go. I'm gonna let them young niggas play defense, man. Yeah. I'll get all my buckets and assists, but you know, I'll give me a chase down block every once in a while, LeBron. But I ain't gonna really play no defense. And when my teammates ain't gonna play, now the one thing I hope like players now that see this when they get older, they don't do is just start blaming. That's the one thing I don't. I'm okay with LeBron not playing defense. I get it. He's 40 almost, and he's been in the league for 20-some years, so it makes sense for him to not play defense. But what you don't do is when you miss the assignment, when they call you out on offense, the other team, and then they score a bucket on you, don't look somewhere else. Don't start doing that. Don't start going, bro, why you ain't do that? Bro, that's your defensive assignment. Sometimes you're going to have to play defense, old man.
Yeah. I think it's funny that I think it's funny that they're interviewing Steph when Jordan Poole had the better game and Clay.
That's only because Steph was in foul trouble, but I think Steph still dropped like 24.
Yeah, he did. All right, so back to the draft because we've been everywhere and we're 30 minutes into this podcast. So the SEC, as always, was dominant. They had 65 picks total. Did you see that Georgia broke the record?
I did.
LSU tied it. I also think Ohio State tied it 1 year.
What was it for? Alabama
close to it. No, it was
for the whole draft. Because I know
draft.
I thought they broke two records. Like I think for a round they broke a record.
I don't know about that. I know. I don't know about that. I know LSU broke the record for how many first round picks. I don't think Georgia broke their record though. They did break the record for most picks in a draft at 15. They had 15 guys get drafted.
That's a lot of draft picks.
Yeah. And it was one of those things, because again, like I said, I was listening to the draft coverage. It was one of those things where, like, because it's always like this. There's always two or three guys who, like, maybe get drafted, maybe don't. And then, like, people kind of sneak them in the seventh. I think it's one of, like, they got the Georgia bump. Some of the guys at the end who maybe should have got drafted, they got the Georgia bump. But it doesn't matter. Like, even if it wasn't 15, 12 is a lot. So even if you had 12 legit guys and two or three that got the Georgia bump, that's nuts. Like,
yeah, that's a lot of draft picks.
That draft is crazy. So,
that's a lot of draft picks. I mean, the Big Ten with 48 is a lot of draft picks, too.
Yeah, it was those two and then everybody else.
Pac-12 had 20. You did not have to say Texas didn't have a draft pick. You really
yes,
didn't have
I, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I absolutely had to. And you're lucky I didn't feel like looking up to see how many draft picks Oklahoma had, because they didn't get a draft pick until the third day.
They
had no first, second, or third picks. They did not. And it probably wasn't. It was probably two or three. It was probably two or three. So I had to put it in there because everybody's like, Texas is back. Texas is back. No, they're not. No, they're not. Okay, so Oklahoma ended up having 7 somehow. Oh, okay. But they were all like 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks. They didn't have any in the first three.
Well, they didn't have many people, like there weren't many people from Oklahoma where they were getting coverage and talked about like that this year.
I know. The point that I bring up Oklahoma is everyone talks about Lincoln Riley, and I do think he's a good coach, but everyone assumes that he's going to go to USC, and then just they're just going to be back, and they're going to be amazing, and they're going to win national championships.
I mean, they got most of Oklahoma's players.
but that's the point. The Oklahoma players that wasn't getting drafted, like, he's not developing guys, so we should probably relax.
They were all young. Most of the people they got were all freshmen. Most of the people that transferred.
But my point is, he wasn't a new coach. He's been Oklahoma's head coach for years. So he hadn't built that program to the point where they were consistently getting first, second, and third round picks. You could say that they have the quarterbacks, but that's it. They're the quarterbacks, and then the 1 year they had the wide receiver and CeeDee Lamb, or the 2 years because Hollywood Brown is also from there.
CeeDee Lamb and Hollywood Brown were from Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's why. So they both played with Kyler Murray. And really? So Kyler Murray wanted them to draft CeeDee Lamb, and they didn't. So what they're saying is because Kyler's unhappy, part of the reason they traded for Hollywood Brown is so Kyler could have his guy again, so he wouldn't keep making that fuss.
Which I find hilarious, because what is he unhappy about? His poor play to finish the season? Because that's what you should be unhappy about.
I don't know. I don't know. But
it's not like my he played point is, well and then they lost. Like, he was terrible.
Yeah, so, I mean, hey, it is what it is. I still think Lincoln Riley's a good coach. I just think people need to calm down a little bit because he has been at Oklahoma for a long time, and he was getting the second, third, fourth, fifth best recruiting classes, all these five stars and stuff, and then not developing them. The reason that I had to point out Texas is that's just hilarious. How are you the University of Texas and none of your players get drafted?
It just didn't happen this year. I'm surprised you didn't put like how many Clemson had.
I didn't even look at that. But I have it pulled up, so let's talk about it. So we're going to talk about it. Two.
All draft?
Yeah, two. Yeah. But Dabble's going to write shit.
I was about to say, Cincinnati had a bunch. Cincinnati had a bunch of draft picks.
They had they had nine.
Yeah. Well, they had a really good team. Yeah. It should have went that way. They said two players from Clemson.
Yeah, yeah. Because Dabble's doing great right now. Yeah, so
oh, that's funny.
That is quite hilarious. I love everything about that. I didn't even think to look at Clemson. I just knew Texas had zero picks, but I was like, well, because I didn't follow the third day. So I was like, okay, maybe they got one late. So I looked up Texas and I was like, huh. All right. So no picks for Texas. That's cool.
You just hate on Texas out of nowhere, bro.
That is factual. They had zero people taken in the NFL draft. Do you know how bad that is to be the University of Texas?
They didn't develop nobody. Maybe they didn't have anybody enter the draft. Like, maybe.
No.
Like, how many people entered the draft from Texas?
I'm so sick of making excuses.
I really want to know. I want to know how many players from Texas really entered the draft.
It doesn't matter.
It kind of does, though.
It doesn't. They're not. No team is that young where nobody enters the draft. Just, they're not good. It's okay to say that. Dante has me on this podcast. You always make me out to be the bad guy. You be good cop and bad cop in me. I be saying something. You're like, well, maybe there's another reason. No, there's not. They're garbage.
Because I'm hearing all like, maybe.
No, bro. Zero draft. You can't get one. Zero draft picks in seven rounds. Plus compensatory picks. I shouldn't even try to say that word. I don't know.
Fourth time since 2014 that they had one or fewer draft picks in the draft.
Garbage. Trash. At the University of Texas. Texas is top three state every year for recruits, and they can't get none of them and then develop them into draft picks. But everybody else can.
Okay, so they had 12 players into the draft. Yikes.
since we're rubbing it in, let's talk about it. BYU had one. Liberty had one. UConn had one. Northern Iowa had one. North Dakota State had one. Missouri State, North Dakota, South Dakota State, Youngstown State, Montana State had two. Southern Utah, Chattanooga, Southern University, Jackson State, Fordham, Villanova, Samford, Sam Houston State, South Carolina State, Yale. Yale had someone drafted, but Texas didn't. Yale, Dante. I'm going to continue. Fayetteville State. Hold on. Let me know if you've ever heard of this school, because I know you haven't, because I've never heard of it. Northwest Missouri State.
That's a community college. They ain't got no football team.
They had a guy drafted. I can't even begin to say. Ocheeta Baptist guy drafted. Valdosta State and Lanier Ryan.
Those are all seventh round picks, and like
it doesn't matter. It does not actually. No, not all of them. I do know who some of the people from these schools were.
One of those places you made up. It sounded foreign. You made that up.
I'm looking at the official list from CBS right now. Oh my maybe goodness. They made it up. I didn't make it up.
Nah, because that don't even sound right.
yeah. So.
Damn, Texas. I'm sorry. I tried.
You tried, but you can't do it. You cannot. You can't do it.
I tried. I did. But
you're lucky CBS doesn't have the listing by states, because I'd love to know how many players from Texas, like born in Texas, went into the draft, because I bet you it's a lot. None of them went to Texas. They went to the draft.
Yeah. All right. I don't know where this hate or this anger for Texas came from. It's
not hate or anger. It is just funny. It's just funny that the University of Texas has nobody drafted. That's ridiculous.
It's not the first time that's happened for a school.
It should have been. Nah. No, Texas is not a school. It is Texas.
Oh, okay. But it's a school.
Okay, but here, because this is going to transition to the next topic. You know who else had zero players drafted?
Northwestern.
Yeah. But I'm not mad at Northwestern, because anytime they get somebody drafted, it's good. Like, shout out to them. They had somebody. Texas is not Northwestern.
I mean, over the past few years.
That's the problem. Exactly.
Didn't they have some like sanctions happen to them, or they just stink?
No, they just suck. They just keep firing coaches, and they keep hiring coaches who are hyped, but not actually good coaches.
At least it wasn't Jeff Fisher.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, continuing on, the Big Ten, like we said, what was the number that we said? They had 48 picks, solid. Everyone else, Pac-12 had 25, Big 12 had 25. ACC had 21, AAC had 19. So, of the 48, this is how the Big Ten broke down. And I'm going to read it, and then I have a question for you. So, Penn State had 8. Ohio State had 6. Michigan and Wisconsin had 5. Michigan State and Minnesota had 4. Purdue, Nebraska, and Illinois had 3. Iowa, Rutgers, and Maryland had 2. Indiana had 1. And as we already discussed, Northwestern had 0. So not only did Penn State lead the Big Ten, which is rare because it's normally Ohio State, they had, off the top of my head, 2 first-round picks and a very high second-round pick. Jahan Dotson went 16. Mm-hmm. Jaquan Brisk. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait. I'm going to have to pull this up. because who else did they have in the – who else did they have? So Jaquan Brisker went very early in the second round as well. Arnold Epikiti went into the second round. Jahan Dotson went first. And somebody else, I think, went first. I should – oh, hold on. I have them right here. So, okay. No, they only had one first-round pick.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It was Jahan Dotson. So they had one first-round pick and a couple of very high second-round picks. Do you think Penn State and their coach failed? Maybe not by at least winning the Big Ten East or being better. Eight people drafted, three or four in the first two rounds.
Injuries plagued their season.
But it was an injury to the quarterback, not to the players that got drafted.
No, I'm talking about, but still, that's still a major injury. And I think they lost a receiver at some point too.
Nah.
So I mean, you still lost your quarterback. If you don't think he's that good, it's still your starting quarterback.
Right, which means they failed because they didn't have a better one.
Oh my God.
And they still don't have a better one because he's still there. They let him come back.
Failed. I think they could have easily been Michigan State if it wasn't for injuries. Because Michigan State could have was one injury away from being Penn State.
You're so much nicer than I am. That's fine.
We agreed about that even earlier in the year and during the season, because it was like if they weren't injured, they would have beat Illinois. We said that. They would have won that game.
Right. Well, they still should have won the game. But
then they almost beat Ohio State, but their quarterback was playing injured.
The quarterback played injured against Illinois.
Okay, so he didn't play the Ohio State game then. Or he was fine for the Ohio State game.
Because
they had injuries at cornerback that game. They had injuries in their secondary that game. I remember them bringing that up during the Ohio State game.
Probably.
Yeah.
But still, it wasn't the players that got drafted.
What does that have to – what? No, you asked me. What? You asked me if they failed. No, I don't think they failed. The injuries plagued their season.
That's fair. Well, okay. The reason why I kind of disagree, though, is because you have to play in the league in college for 3-4 years. So just about every year that these guys were there, at least the last two or three, Penn State was bad. Because they've had back-to-back bad seasons or back-to-back-to-back bad seasons, which is why I think they failed. If you can come out into a year where you, like, have the most picks, but not the most picks because you got a whole bunch of seventh-round picks. You had high-quality picks, first and second round, and you don't at least, like, challenge, I think that's a slight failure. Especially to have back-to-back, at least back-to-back bad years, but it could be three bad years in a row. But I know for a fact it's two. That's why I say, did they fail? Like, I get the injuries and things like that, but also, like, you pick your quarterback. So having a guy who's not good is a failure. Having a backup who's not ready is a failure. I mean, Ohio State won a national championship with their third-string quarterback. And you could say defense and running back and Ezekiel and all this other kind of stuff, but Cardale Jones still had to make throws. He still made big plays. So they couldn't run the ball.
But that's funny because that's easy to do. It's not easy to do, but there's a lot less pressure on you as that third string quarterback because there's no film on you. There's no film on you, so we don't even know what you can do.
There's no film on their second string quarterback because their quarterback's been there for 7 years, and they couldn't get a backup quarterback ready to play one game against the worst team in the Big Ten.
It was not. They were not going against Nebraska.
Okay, sorry. Nebraska's not the worst team. Northwestern's the worst team in the Big Ten. The second or third worst team in the Big Ten in Illinois.
Was it Northwestern? No, yeah, there was a team that only won two games, bro, and they wore red. Nah. Indiana.
Northwestern was worse than Indiana.
I don't think so.
I'm almost positive they were. They had a really bad year.
Now, Indiana football. Who's their football? I swear they only won two games. I swear to God.
So then what did Northwestern win? Two games?
I think
two?
Three games.
They won.
Yeah. Indiana went 2-10, 0-9 in the division. Hold on. And then Northwestern.
Okay, so either way, they weren't playing Indiana or Northwestern. So the third worst team in the division, in the Big Ten.
So I was like, I had to make sure.
You can't get a backup quarterback that can beat the third worst team in the Big Ten when you're supposed to be the second or third best team in the Big Ten.
He wasn't the only one injured those games. Because I think they were missing that secondary too, them games. I wouldn't say it's Illinois a full failure.
Illinois doesn't throw the ball at all. You're better than their quarterback. Shoulder injury and all.
And that's why that game was like 10-7. Like,
oh my God. Okay, Dante, I'm done with this. You're
going to fight. And we both agreed that Illinois was better than was a better team than we really expected. Because they were close in a lot of games, not just that one.
But not better than Penn State. This is not Maryland we're talking about. We're talking about Penn State. We're talking about the team that for like 5 of the last 8 years has been the clear-cut second-best team in the Big Ten, who the only team that was better than them was Ohio State. We're talking about the team that most people want to get rid of divisions for because we agreed that if they weren't in divisions, that they would be better than Wisconsin and Iowa.
And because they would have get to play chance. Rutgers and Maryland and stuff like that, yeah.
They already played them.
But you know what I mean. Like they get to play Iowa, stuff like that. They get to play teams like that. But it's funny because Indiana really was the worst team in the Big Ten. You're like, no, it had to be Northwestern. Mm-mm. No,
they were close.
It was easily Indiana by a mile.
I watched Northwestern play. Maybe a mile and a half. But yeah, either way. So we
record.
It was at best it was 3-9, but it was probably 2-10.
All right, no, because I need last year's record.
Oh, so yeah, okay. Well, that's fine. You don't think they failed? I think they failed.
Not that bad.
What is failure to you? If that's not a failure.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, that's conference. Okay, so overall, yeah, they went 3-9.
That's better. That's a mild.
Yep. They won a conference game.
Barely.
I mean, even Nebraska got a conference game. Indiana didn't get one.
All right, but this isn't about Indiana. This is about Penn State failing with 8 NFL players on their roster. 8 NFL players on your roster is a lot. I don't understand how that's not a failure to you.
Injuries happen, man. And then they had COVID problems too. Oh, they had COVID problems too.
That was 2 years ago. That was not last year.
They didn't have a few players out because of COVID?
No, you're making excuses for them. And even still, it wasn't the 8 players drafted. Jahan Dotson wasn't out. Arnold Epikiti wasn't out. Jaquan Brisker wasn't out. Like, those guys were there. Jaquan Brisker almost single-handedly won them the Ohio State game. That's a failure. People were saying that, maybe not you, but people were saying that Ohio State failed. And Ohio State had 6 NFL draft picks on their roster.
The reason why they say that is because the standards for Ohio State
The standard for Penn State is very, very close. Penn State has a lot of national championships. Penn State's the only team that has beaten Ohio State on a or scared Ohio State on a semi-regular basis. People,
no one is expecting Penn State to go undefeated and win
the division. There are multiple years where they've gone 10-2, 11-1, and their only loss been to Ohio State. They are far from scrubs.
And then Ohio State, what, goes undefeated and makes the playoffs?
Yes, and if Penn State would have went 11-1,
but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, though.
11-1, it would have been fine. But they didn't go 11-1.
That's what I'm. But what I'm saying though is that because you're saying like Ohio State failed. According to Ohio State standards, it's undefeated in making the playoffs and going for the championship. Every year. That's literally what it is every year for Ohio State. It's not always that for Penn State. That's why people say that Ohio State failed, because they lost two games and looked really shaky in a lot of games defensively.
How is that not a failure for Penn State, though? Because Penn State performed way under their expectations.
Did they? Because we didn't even have high expectations for Penn State this year.
Are you sure about that?
I can go and look.
I put it up right now. What is not high expectations?
Where did you have them going?
We both had them at 9-3.
Oh, they missed it by two games? See, that's not high expectations.
They were 6-6.
And then they won the bowl game.
So that means they would have been 10 and okay.
I'm messing with you. I'm messing with you. But
you only had them losing to Wisconsin, Auburn, and Ohio State. Those are all teams that, to their expectations, they could have lost to. I had them losing to Wisconsin, Indiana, and Ohio State because I was somehow oddly high on Indiana. Ew, that's not the worst thing I've ever. Yeah, that's so bad. They went 6-6, and they struggled to get to that 6-6.
Yes, they did struggle, but they fought hard all year. I do give them that. They never backed down. I think again, I've been saying all year, I think the Big Ten was a lot more competitive than it has been in a while, and this was a very competitive field for Penn State. Because then they have, they went with Illinois, Ohio State, and then Michigan State, and then Michigan. I know they had a rough patch there.
Not really. They went Illinois, Ohio State, Maryland, Michigan, Rutgers, Michigan State. So that's all. That's a winnable game, a losable game, winnable game, losable game, winnable game, losable game. They never had a really rough patch. Even the beginning of the season, they went Wisconsin, Ball State, Auburn.
So it was like losable game.
So they
game,
never had.
Game. I mean,
they never had back to back games where you thought they should have lost.
Yeah, I give you that. I just think the Big Ten was a lot more competitive. I mean, Maryland was good. Rutgers was pretty good.
Once you start saying Rutgers was pretty good,
Were they not though? Didn't Rutgers blow out Indiana if they played? I don't know if they played. Probably, I might be making Purdue was good. Yeah. Iowa was better than what we expected record wise.
Yeah, they were garbage too.
They just couldn't. They really. They couldn't score. They couldn't move the ball to save their lives.
Okay. Well, we can move on. I don't understand how having 8 draft picks and going 7-5 is not a failure. But like, okay.
I don't know. I can't put that much. I can't think of the word, but I can't give that much credit to having that many draft picks. Or players drafted, because you never know. Five of those players could be out next year out of the league. And then you got
that's highly unlikely when multiple of them are high picks.
Is that really that highly unlikely?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you can say that, but like there are 130 teams. in college football, not including Division II and other ones, because Division II guys get drafted. Again, yeah. Texas had zero.
Oh, so God.
even still,
I knew you was going to bring that up.
So you can, but I'm just saying, you can't say, oh, they may not last in the league, which means they weren't good players, because they got to the league over a lot of other players. They were good college players. That's how they got to the league. Whether they're good in the league or not means nothing for how good they were in college, or the fact that they were good enough to get drafted. Like, nobody looks back.
What I'm saying is, I don't put that much importance on the past season, or that much importance on how many players were drafted from a team. It's not that important to me as a college, college standpoint. Like, yeah, we had eight players go into the league, but I mean, that really doesn't.
But that's like your, that's your, that is your biggest recruiting strategy as a college. And most teams, again, who have amazing seasons, like Georgia had an amazing season, 15 players drafted. LSU's national championship team, 14 players drafted. Ohio State's 2002 national championship team, 14 players drafted. Drafted players typically equal success. Every year that Alabama has won a national championship, they've had a lot of guys drafted. Like, the number
even when they don't win it, but even when they don't win a national championship,
they didn't have
They had a good amount.
Not high. And let's see what the actual number was. Let's see. SEC. They had 7, which is less than Penn State,
but more than Ohio State.
It's less than Penn State. It was who we're talking about. Ohio State only had 6, and part of my thing is they only had 6.
Again, how many Alabama players went into the draft? Because we had that was a young team. That was a young team for Alabama. So what I'm
saying, that was a young team, and they still had 7 people drafted.
Because I mean, normally if they're an older team, and normally they're an older team, and they'll have like 10 to 11 players drafted. It's just they were young this year, I think. I'll tell you this. It was a 5. They had an average year. I think Penn State had an average year. There's some things they can improve on.
It's a failure. Yeah.
Okay. I guess agree to disagree.
I just want to know it's a failure to you. Like what would have had to happen for them to be?
Because I don't think Penn State had that big of expectations.
They always do. They're Penn State. They're treating them like they're Maryland.
I'm treating them like
they
Michigan
just paid
State.
Their coach.
That's what I'm treating like.
Michigan State's expectations every single year is to win the Big Ten too.
Michigan State
met their expectations.
Hold on.
Michigan State has.
Hold on. Now, if you're saying from the inside, like working in Penn State or being a part of that team, of course their expectations were to win the Big Ten. But outside of that, people didn't have big expectations for Michigan State, including us. People didn't have that. We had more expectations for Penn State, but as a whole, from what I heard, what I was listening and watching, Penn State didn't have that big of expectations this year either because of that quarterback. But they didn't have big expectations.
But they
Ohio State had big expectations this year.
7-5
Michigan had big expectations this year because they had half their roster was like 8-year seniors. And
7-5 at Penn State is unacceptable. Especially when you have 8 players
in Indiana. And Wisconsin and Indiana had big expectations this year. But I don't think Penn State had win the Big Ten expectations around the country. Penn State,
at least be competitive. They weren't competitive. They went 7-5.
Because everybody else was competitive.
It doesn't matter. Penn State is the second best team in the East on a yearly basis. Better than Michigan. Better than Michigan State. You can look at it. You can look at the players. You can look at the record. That is true. Penn State, you look at Jim Harbaugh's record against Penn State. It is not good. Penn State almost always beats them. Penn State is the second best program in the East, and a lot of years they're the second best program in the entire Big Ten because people think that they're better.
I think Jim Harbaugh's record against Penn State is the only positive one, and then it's negative against everybody else.
I think it's like tied. I think it's like 500, maybe
something like that. Well, that's more positive than just literally losing every other game.
Yeah. I didn't expect to get stuck on this topic, so we can move on.
And they were young too. Wasn't Penn State young?
Oh my god! How many?
I'm literally asking. Were they young this year?
No.
No.
That's why. That's part of the reason they had so many people drafted. I can't name who's on Penn State's roster for next year, except their 17-year quarterback.
17 years. He reminds me of that one player. I think he used to play for Kansas. He played basketball. I was like, bro, he's still there. Oh, and for Michigan State, there was a dude that like just kept coming back, and I'm like, bro, I swear he'd been here for like 40 years.
Yeah, Michigan has a guy like that now, Hunter Johnson, or Hunter Dickinson, whatever his last name is, Hunter something.
Football or basketball?
Basketball.
I'm like, bro, I could have sworn I saw your face when I was in high school, and now I'm out of college, and you're still there.
He's working on his second master's.
Yeah. There was a dude from Ohio State like that, too, I think. When I was like, bro, I've seen your face here before. Like, why are you still here? Or those twins that are Instagram famous, and they're supposed to be basketball players that play for Kansas or something, but you never saw them play, but they're still on the team.
Yeah, I have no idea who you're talking about.
I'm going to find them because they're fine as hell, but I swear they don't play a lick of basketball.
Women's basketball players?
Yeah.
Okay, you didn't say that.
Yeah, no, they're women's. They're twins. Okay. They were like twins, and they went to the same school, and I think they're still there on the team, but don't play. And I swear they went there when we were in college. And I mean, we were young in college.
That's hilarious. Okay, so we're going to wrap up with this. The Big Ten had 7, technically 8, if you want to be generous, first-round picks. Aiden Hutchinson went number 2. Garrett Wilson went 10. Chris Olave went 11. The 8th, quote-unquote, is Jameson Williams because he spent 3 of his 4 years in college in the Big Ten.
And then he went to
Alabama for 1 season. So technically he's credited to them, but he spent the majority of his career at Ohio State in the Big Ten. He went number 12, so back-to-back-to-back receivers. Then Jahan Dotson went 16.
Who was at 12? Because that was a good pickup for them.
The Saints took him. They took him. Who traded up for him? It wasn't the Texans. It wasn't the Jets. It wasn't the Ravens, the Bears, because the Bears don't care. It wasn't the Raiders.
The Bears don't care.
It wasn't the Falcons. It was the Lions.
Was it the Lions?
I was going to get there. It was the Lions.
Because that's a good pick, too. That's a good pick for them, man.
It was the Lions. Jahan Dotson went 16. Tyler Lindenbaum went 25. George Karloftis went 30. And then Dax Hill went 31. So Michigan had 2 first-round picks. Ohio State had 2.5 first-round picks with the 3 wide receivers. Jahan Dotson, Penn State, had 1 first-round pick. Iowa had a first-round pick. And then Purdue had a first-round pick. So based on the first round picks, like you can kind of see the team, except for Purdue, Penn State, because they failed. You can kind of see the teams that were good. Michigan had a great season, 2 first round picks.
Ohio State had a good season,
2 first round picks. Iowa, great. Above average. I don't even know what to call it because it started out so good and then it went off the rails and then they came back, but then they got blew out in the Big Ten championship game.
In all honesty, it was a pretty decent season for real.
It was just
poor on offense, but as a whole, it was a pretty good season for real. Yep, I mean, you played in the Big Ten championship game. It's a pretty good season.
And then Purdue had their best season. And
yeah, they overachieved.
People did not like their wide receiver for some reason. I think he's going to be great for the Browns, but George Karlaftis went in the first round. So yeah, Big Ten overall, Big Ten had a good draft. Before we go to our pit stops, do you have any final thoughts on the draft, on the Big Ten, anything like that?
Like I said before, I think as a whole, the draft was just pretty good. I think every division, like SEC, Big Ten, had good prospects come out. And I think every team in the NFL did pretty well in the draft. Because I can't even say Cowboys did bad.
The Cardinals had a terrible draft.
All right, there it goes. Because they didn't even have a first-round pick, though.
Yeah, they did have a first-round pick. They traded it for Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown is not worth a first-round pick.
You're not. I mean, look,
he's not.
But we've seen a lot of players go for weird packages this year.
You're right. Yeah, that's true. But that's how the Ravens
because Tyreek Hill didn't go for a first. There was not a first round in his package.
There wasn't.
I don't think so. Unless that was that 30th pick. But I don't think there was a first round pick in that. Or maybe the 21st pick. That might have been the 21st pick. Nope. That came from New England. So we're.
What did they get for him? They got a lot for him.
Because even Devontae Adams, I don't think, had a first round pick in his package.
I don't know, but that
there was a receiver I know that got traded for a bunch of peanuts,
there was a first round pick. It just the Dolphins had a lot of first round picks, so they didn't trade theirs. That 29th pick was I don't know whose pick that was originally, but the Dolphins owned it. They gave up a first, a second, a fourth, and then another fourth and a sixth next year.
Because I know there was a few. I do remember there was I think there was a receiver. What's the name from Dallas?
Amari Cooper.
Yeah, he got traded for peanuts. That's who it was.
Yeah. He got traded for like a fifth round pick or something.
Yeah, because I don't think Devontae Adams got traded. I think his package was weird too.
I don't remember.
How do you spell his name?
It's regular, no apostrophes, no
extraness.
But it's D A and not D E.
I see.
Yeah.
Traded to Raiders. For a first and a second. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So then, that means I think everybody else was traded for things that didn't make any sense or less than what they were really valued.
Yeah, facts. Overall, I think the draft was solid. SEC is always going to SEC. But the Big Ten, it's good to see.
No, the Big Ten's going to Big Ten too. Like Big Ten has a lot of picks.
That's what I'm saying though. But it's good to see the Big Ten is still sticking around. Like there's a gap between the SEC and the Big Ten, but then there's a big gap between the Big Ten and everybody else.
It's the same amount of picks.
It's wider. It's 17
by 3 by. Yeah, it's about. So it's a three pick swing. Because it's like three behind. So, like,
it's eight. Because the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is 23 picks. The Big Ten to the SEC is 17 picks. So it's an eight pick.
It's a six pick.
How?
Yeah, six pick
17 difference. 17 to 23. Yeah, okay, six pick difference. Yeah,
that's a six pick. It's a swing. Yeah, so it's about the same.
Yeah,
it's not that big of a gap. Yeah,
it would be even if Texas could get some players drafted.
Fucking A, man. Because then who you taking away from? Who you taking away from? What division you taking away from if a few Texas picks actually happen?
Some of the schools that you thought I made up.
fair enough.
Does Cincinnati need nine? What are we talking about?
Nah, Cincinnati had a good year, bro. Half that team was old, too. They were going to get drafted.
Yeah, Cincinnati had a great year. Hey, you know, I'm
they're just as old as Michigan, for real, for real.
Yeah, maybe older. it's at certain spots. Yeah, I'm hoping good on Cincinnati players in the league because the coach drafted two of them. So, you know, they went down to Cincinnati, which is down the street. It's like an hour or two, and said they had an amazing workout. Like they highlighted a couple. Coach's first pick in the second round was Alec Pierce, the wide receiver. And then like the fifth or sixth round, they got a defensive tackle from there who had 7.5 sacks last year, but fell to the fifth or sixth round.
I can see that happening. Oh yeah, man. No, seriously, I think the Jets won the freaking draft, man. They got Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
And then they picked up Garrett Wilson. They might have won the draft for real.
Jermaine Johnson, yeah. I think they got somebody else. Let me see. Jets draft picks.
You know what? And that's Seattle's fault, you idiots. They gave Garrett Wilson to the Jets.
Literally. They got Breece Hall, who is arguably – it's either Breece Hall or Kenneth Walker for the best running back in the league and in college football last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got
from Florida State, which he was good. Yeah. Tennessee probably needed him.
Mm-hmm. And then they got two decent fourth round picks. They got an offensive tackle who maybe he becomes a backup, maybe he starts, who knows. And then they got an edge from Texas A&M. Once you get to the fourth round, it's like, you know, you just maybe hope for the best.
Usually those are where the stars come from, a good amount, but especially defensive stars.
Yeah, their first five picks are excellent. Sauce Gardner, beautiful. Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall, and Jeremy Ruckert.
I think the Saints did pretty well, running back and a tight end. Yeah,
why did you running back and a tight end?
I do want to bring out, I think the Steelers' second pick was a really, really good pick.
Who was that?
George Pickens from Georgia.
He
like 6'4", strong. It's about time we got another one of them.
Yeah, he fell because of some off-field stuff.
That's fine. That's okay.
But like, you know, that coach don't sit him down. You don't sit him down and be like, hey.
Hey.
I will call your mom. Like, don't play with me. You are not doing that in the Steelers organization. So, there are some organizations more than others who are well equipped to handle that. And I think the Steelers are fine.
Yeah. I mean, we've done it before. We kept Antonio Brown under wraps for a while. Like, he was
to the point where like people were like, has he always been like this?
And everybody in the Steelers was like, yes.
then you start to hear leaks and you're like, oh my God.
He was always like that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I still think that hit did most of that. Like, it brought it out. Like there before the hit, he was able to control it, and then after the hit against Cincinnati, it was like a floodgate open.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. I do have to say that. I think the Steelers did well. I think the Jets won the draft. I think the Saints did really well in the draft.
Yep. The Saints got a good safety. They got a good wide receiver. Chris Olave to pair with Michael Thomas.
And I think they got another receiver, too.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm going to have to look, though. I'm looking now. I'm looking at round three right now.
Okay. But yeah, Saints did pretty decent. And the Ravens killed it. They just did.
Yeah,
they got so many starters. So.
Yeah, I would have said the Raiders did good, but they didn't even have to do good because they had one of the greatest trades of all time. Actually, they had a few good trades happen before this happened, so they didn't even have to do much.
Yeah, shout out to the Raiders for giving us Yannick Ngakoue, though. We needed him.
Right. Yes, you did.
We definitely needed him. So.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Good draft.
Let's wrap this up. My allergies are getting out of hand. So,
fair enough, and I gotta walk my dog.
Is this officially your dog? So it's
like a family dog. It's my sister's dog, right? Okay. But my sister just had her child, of course, and the dog being very young is still needy for attention and stuff like that. So he'll act out because all the attention is going to this newborn baby. So I took him in. Didn't want to really give him up. So I took him in. He'll probably be with me for a few years until he either gets older and calms down, or my nephew gets older.
That's your dog. They'll just buy another one. if you have the dog for a couple of years, you're not giving it up. Like,
stop. Oh, he's gonna give him up. Like, man, you take this stink. Because, I mean, bro, his farts are all, bro, they're just terrible. They're killing me.
Let's wrap this up. What is your pit stop?
My pit stop is something I thought about at the end of the episode last week, the USFL. If you're not watching this, like, guys, if you're a big football fan, I encourage y'all to watch this league. Pretty good football. And it's also spring football, which is I want to keep around, because football is the shortest league season-wise. Yeah, so I have no problem having spring football. And it's good football. It's good football. They need the support because all the games are in Alabama, so you're not going to get all that fan service of people going there, because there's one team in Alabama, and then that's who get all the fans in the stands. And then after that, it kind of dwindles down because nobody wants to see the other teams. But it's good football. I've been enjoying it. I don't know if you've seen a few games yet, but I'm going to watch the game later on tonight too.
Yeah, I've seen a few. I'm going to watch some. I would say the biggest issue, which I think can get fixed if it becomes viable, the biggest issue is some of the quarterback play. And I think they kind of went after, because they were trying to market, they went after some names like Shea Patterson and some other people, like the 6'8" quarterback from the Broncos who wasn't good, Paxton Lynch. That's just, I actually think they're on the same team. They went after some, like,
I think Paxton Lynch is the starter, I believe.
Shea Patterson was drafted to be the starter, but he's terrible, so maybe Paxton has taken over.
I think Paxton's taken over.
But, yeah, the quarterback play is not always great.
No.
And so, but, like, everything else, I mean, the running backs, wide receivers, defensive line, like,
everything's the defense good. Be
whooping, like, yeah, so
that, like, that first game, so you're
going to get some contracts.
Like, that first game, the start of the season, it was the Alabama team played.
The Michigan team, right? They played Shea Patterson in it. I was at the second game. Because I watched that game.
I think that was the second game. But I know to start the game, it was the Alabama versus, I want to say, the Philadelphia Stars team. Okay. But I'm not sure. But that was a really, really good game. Really competitive. Wasn't that bad. Quarterback play, but it has been, like you said, lately, the quarterback play has been a little bit iffy, but I still think it's a good league. A lot of good football there, and I encourage a lot of people to watch. You'll have to watch it on Fox if you don't. I don't like the channel Fox, but I mean,
but please watch it, because we need the NFL to have a developmental league.
Yes.
It'd be so good for the NFL. So one of these leagues has to be viable, and it's going to take 2 or 3 seasons of them showing that they're viable. It's going to take teams, you know, like NFL teams taking guys from this league and them earning roster spots and things like that. And then the NFL will support it. The NFL is big business. So, like, they're not going to support anything that they think is going to risk them. But once, you know, like most corporations, monopolies, all that kind of stuff, once it's viable, they're going to be like, hey, can we? And it's just like my ideal for this, and I don't care if it's this one or the XFL, my ideal for this is the NFL becomes a partner.
Yep.
Maybe it doesn't fully become like the G League where they start doing two-way contracts and that kind of stuff. I think that's the most ideal. But the thing that I hope happens more than anything is that all of these players who are on the practice squad, these players like David Ojabo, who is going to miss his rookie season because he's injured, those types of guys, they get to go through the season, and then you put them on that roster for that 10 weeks and you let them play. So you can evaluate them. You can see if they're good. You can see if they're worth something. Because, like, for example, like, the Colts have a backup quarterback who's a second year in the league. He's the guy from Texas. They don't know if he's good or not because he never takes a snap in practice. He never takes a snap in a game.
He could be getting playing time. And
right. Yeah. He's still on the Colts, but you get to boom, and then when he comes back into the facility,
I think they are allowed to do that, though. I think the NFL gave permission to players to do that, to play. Like, if you're not
fully... But they do that on their own. Yeah, I want, like, the Colts to be like, you're still under contract. We're going to send you there. We're going to watch your film. You're going to get better. You're going to get reps. So then when the NFL season comes around, you're a better player. We know what to work you on. You got some snaps, that kind of stuff. Because there's a bunch of players on NFL rosters who just don't get snaps, don't touch the field, don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's just because there's just not enough time. There's not enough time in practice and all that other kind of stuff. So that's my idea.
And then when once you get deeper and deeper into the season, the less time you're going to get in those practice reps because the whole roster is set. Yeah, no, but I do think the this can succeed, and I hope it does. I'm gonna continue watching it so I can try to help it succeed. Just like the WNBA. It just needs people to watch. That's it.
And that's spring football. Come on.
Come on, man. We got football in the spring. Yeah. Hey, another reason that they ignore your girlfriend for a few weeks, you know?
So my pit stop is that the Colts should win the AFC South.
Not the AFC. Wow.
They haven't won the AFC South in like 4 years.
I know, so, but like, and that, go, that's,
oh,
that's,
wow.
No, because like,
they've been fumbling the bag.
Yeah, because they, that's the worst part about it is that they fumbled the bag away because they should be Dallas. They should be Dallas. Easily winning your division.
I won't say that because the Titans have had some decent teams.
Okay.
I wouldn't say easily, but like, they shouldn't have not lost in four. They shouldn't have. Have not won in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it should happen because I don't think the Titans are going to be good this year.
I mean, and they Julio, whatever happened with him, and he was injured as he was and should probably retire. And then they traded AJ Brown.
Why did they make that trade?
Because they didn't want to pay $20 million. So supposedly. He went to he's the one that went to the Eagles. Supposedly, the Eagles signed him to a 4-year, $100 million contract with like $60 million guaranteed or something. They haven't fully announced it, but like that was, you know, when they trade people, they put that stuff on the table. Yeah. They didn't want to give him a 4-year, $100 million contract. That's why.
Well,
because that's what you're paying wide receivers now.
Yeah, I mean, they do a lot of the work. You know what? But look, if you want to be a franchise that's always meh. There you go, Tennessee. You did what you had to do.
You trade him and then get a poor man's replacement. So that's exactly what they did. But even if that wouldn't have happened, I still think they should have won. But now better win. Now they better win.
They have no choice but to win.
Yeah. They got Matt Ryan. They got Yannick Ngakoue. They had a decent draft. Hopefully they have a second wide receiver now with the guy from Cincinnati. They still have Darius Leonard. They still have all those guys. They got Steven Nelson. He's older, but, you know, the guy who became All-Pro and won or almost won Defensive Player of the Year as a cornerback. So they should be better.
Yeah, no, they should be. They should win their division. I was going to rehand it to you guys regardless because I'm looking at the AFC South, like the NFC South. Or East,
it's not that bad, but it ain't much better.
It's not that much better.
There's two viable teams there, though.
I mean, Eagles are pretty good. And who else is in that division? Washington. The Giants. Commanders.
Oh. And the Giants, yeah. That's a bad division.
And it's only because of quarterback play.
And bad, poorly run franchises. I mean, the Giants and the Commanders.
George Gettleman. I can't believe. I still can't believe George Gettleman is still there. I can't believe Gettleman is still running that franchise. That is crazy.
They don't care about anything.
No, they don't. They do not.
But all right, we're gonna wrap this up at an hour and a half. We are going to this summer's gonna be fun because if we start ranking coaches, we're just gonna argue for like every episode because we're not gonna agree on who should be fired or not. We're gonna find some nice fun
because you want everybody fired. I don't think everybody should be fired.
Not everyone. Not everyone. Just most of them. You know, there's a couple that can stay.
I'm pretty sure there's only two coaches you're okay keeping, and that's your coach for Ohio State and the coach for Illinois because he just got there. Everybody else, I'm pretty sure you're okay firing.
Okay, so we'll save this for when we actually do the podcast, but words have meaning. Mm-hmm. Coaches I'm okay firing and coaches I want to be fired are different.
Oh, okay.
I just leave it at that. Because there's a couple who I don't think need to be fired, but if they fired them, I'd be like, whatever.
You can find someone better. I mean, you know, your whole slogan for the year was fire everybody. So
fire everyone in the Big Ten West.
It became that because you definitely was talking about fire everybody. You wanted Jim Harbaugh fired.
Yes. I still do.
And you want Penn State coach fired too, and I think he's pretty good. You were saying he should be fired. You did say he should be fired at one point. We're gonna have to go back. I'm gonna have to go back and listen now. We're gonna have to run the tape.
if you find it, let me know. But I may have said it, but I may have just been like, you know. I may not have meant that one. I don't think James Franklin's gonna be fired.
Alright.
I don't think he's gonna be fired. But we're giving away too much of the content for one of these episodes. We still want people to listen.
You're right.
So we're gonna go ahead and end this one now. As always, thank you for traveling I-70 with us this week. If you enjoyed the episode, leave us a 5-star review. And mention Dante and I. You can find me on Twitter at JordanW330. Dante, where can they find you?
Ooh, I might be dead by the time it happens, but DanteM10216. This dog's farts are awful, y'all. Oh, my God. this has got to be chemical warfare.
Oh my God, that's not how I wanted to end the show. All right, we'll see y'all next week. See y'all.